Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Thanks for joining me today. My motivational quote today is by, and I hope I say your name correct, it's Laurette Cagnon Boulou. If I'm saying it wrong, Laurette, I apologize. Her quote says, "Wellness encompasses a healthy body, a sound mind, and a tranquil spirit. Enjoy the journey as you strive for wellness." What an awesome quote. Body, mind, and spirit are at the core of our health and wellness objectives, right? I want to let's dig in today a little bit deeper. What if illness like cancer, heart disease, mental disorders, Alzheimer's were a choice? What if we could choose to heal them or, get this, not have them at all? Would you be interested in learning a little bit more about taking control and possibly eliminating diseases from our life? Sign me up. Well, my guest today is Patty Conklin, her second time back. And Patty believes that our words have more of an impact on our lives than we actually realize. They manifest within our bodies the second they're thought or even spoken, storing up over a lifetime through vibration. These words come with an emotional attachment and can create physical blockages in our energy flow, creating illness and disease. Now, in her book, God Within, The Day God's Train Stopped, love that title, Patty describes how these buildups have occurred what they mean and how to break them down and prevent them from happening altogether. Through her method using frequency of light, unique to her individual concept, Patty has created a system to heal people. She's developed both color works, tone works, and cellular cleansing as practices of healing, which she's utilized with over 100,000 people. So it works. Now, this book includes various true examples of people who have experienced actual changes in health, well-being, and spiritual transformation. Now, Patty is a world-class energy healer and much sought after facilitator who shared her experiences and changed lives at hundreds of workshops, lectures, and conferences throughout the last two decades. So she's an expert. She is a frequent keynote speaker and presenter at alternate, native, and allopathic conventions. She's a creator of Colorworks, a visualization process that uses active vibration within your body to release or heal specific symptoms, emotions, or physical challenges. Whoo! Please help me welcome my awesome guest, Patty Conklin. So Patty, thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you so much for having me, Connie. What a pleasure. Just a joy.
Well, you are a joy to have on the show, and your background is so interesting. The book was so interesting to read, and the concept of us creating these illnesses and actually being able to take control to eliminate them or stop them from happening in the first place. You know, the thing is, I think I love most about your concept, Patty, is it's non-intrusive, right? There's no surgeries, there's no medications. It's just these concepts of color works and vibrational work and these alternative healing methods. So if it can work, why not, right? You give it a shot for folks that are maybe not feeling well or looking for alternatives. So my first question, I think that's important, are some illnesses more difficult to treat and cure than others, have you found? And if so, why? Why does that happen?
There really isn't a difference in diseases.
Really?
It's the thought process of the person. It's their perception of life. Because if they have a behavioral issue and it's been storing in the same place in the body, it may create a severe cancer, or it may, you know, create abscesses or whatever it is.
Right.
But it's their thought process. So the first thing you have to do is help them recognize what the emotion is that they've been, you know, habitually storing in what part of the, you know, what area of the body. And it's not always where the disease is, right? It could be, you know, you could be having something with your GI tract and have it stored in your knee. So I always say, if you're doing alternative or Western medicine and three appointments doesn't start making it feel better, you're in the wrong place. And so it's just understanding that what makes it worse is how strongly your belief is in the behavior that's creating the disease. And let's say it's judgment or anger and the inability to forgive someone or always being a victim. So what has to happen is you change the behavior of the individual, and then the energy can start flowing through the body again because they're not thinking the same thoughts. And you're using color works or tone works as two active frequencies in the universe, and that's color and tone. And you get them using that with just a simple question of what color do I need to, say, remove frustration from my kidney? And then your body moves that frequency there. And once the energy starts, the emotional behavior is changed, and now the body can start healing. But if you understand it's how you phrase your words, you know, if you wake up in the morning and let's say you've got arthritis and you wake up in the morning and your partner or friend says, you know, how are you feeling this morning? And you say, gosh, you know, I'm really stiff. It just really hurts this morning. Your body's recording all of those words and your body's like, well, okay. I mean, if that's what you want, then that's what I'll give you. And instead they could say, you know what? In 10 minutes, I'm going to feel terrific, because they're validating without saying the words that they don't feel great. But they're also giving their body the response that in 10 minutes, it's going to feel terrific. And so it's really watching how you're speaking. Everything can be said. Even the most confrontational conversations can be said with respect and a neutral statement without making them personal or aggressive or whatever. And understand that every time you get frustrated or upset with somebody, you're not putting stuff into their body. You got it in your body. That's it.
Now, I want to go back to the arthritis example, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I have arthritis, let's just say, and somebody asked me that, and I say, oh, yeah, it's killing me today, right? It's really hurting. Is that specific thought pattern to the arthritis, or is it affecting another organ in the body?
It's specific to the arthritis.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of books out there through the years. You know, it's there's so many books out there now. Not so much when I was starting out, yeah, but out there now of, you know, anger stores here and frustration stores here, and they pick different organs in the body. I don't find that at all. I find that the cluster of congested energy is anywhere. It's cellular, you know, it could be in the kidney, it could be in the liver, but it could be just a mass in your leg. It could just be a blocked energy in your leg. I like to have people just understand that it can be anywhere in your body. It will go to the weakest part of your body at the time that you had the experience. So, you know, one of the things that I've been aware of throughout the last, 10, 15 years maybe, is every November I end up with bronchial pneumonia. And it's, you know, I usually stop work at Thanksgiving and take time off until after the holidays. Always come down with bronchial pneumonia. And when I really started thinking about it, it's like, why? Well, I realized that, you know, we lived in an old farmhouse. My parents each smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day. So there's 6 packs of cigarettes going on in this small farmhouse. And in November in upstate New York is when we'd start using, you know, the wood stove, and they'd start closing up all the doors, and all of that would start coming up. And so I realized it was absolute disgust. I mean, just disgust that I had to breathe through that. So, you know, in the fall now, I'm always careful to really check with my body and say, you know, how's it doing? Do you have some residual? And I actually went home for 9 days, which is the longest I've ever gone home this summer. And I came back with stuff that I didn't even realize. As much stuff as I've done on my own body, never even realized was still in there.
And it was triggered because you actually went home to that environment?
Exactly.
Really?
And, you know, even though they're long gone and so forth, just seeing the house and walking the old farm with my brother was enough to trigger all sorts of stuff that I'm driving home going, wow, absolutely no awareness that I was storing this in my body. So I came home and just was immediately, clear my schedule for the next week or so because I need to go deeper and see if there's anything more. And it was fascinating.
What manifested that you said you were like, whoa, did you feel?
I was crying a lot.
Oh.
I started, and I'm not a crier, and I was crying a lot. A lot of self-worth issues came up.
Really?
And, you know, and my logical mind would go, look, you've become very successful. You know, you work in 66 countries. I mean, you've got this. And I am now a Harvard student. And so I started my courses at Harvard this week. And so it's like, you know, but I realized the little girl in me, there was still some self-worth that my lupus had begun with, right?
Yeah.
You know, when I was 28, that still hadn't quite gotten out. And it was just working on it.
I often say, Patty, that we're like an onion and we peel back a layer and it's like, oh crap, we have another layer.
We have another layer. That's right. That's right.
And it never ends.
And those layers may come every 10 or 15 years, or that you could go through layers every 6 months.
Sure.
And what I want people to understand is we all have the layers. You know, it doesn't matter how much work we've done or whatever. You are still in a human body, and you are going to continue to peel that onion layer until you pass. And I mean, you can choose to ignore it and be sick, but you really can understand what the behavior is. Do you have a secondary gain? Is there something taking place that's giving you a secondary gain from having the illness? And so it's amazing when you start working with people and they're like, no, I don't feel that way. And it's like, your body's telling me that that's exactly what's going on. And so we may actually fight for 15 minutes. I mean, we may really get into it and they're like, what am I paying you all this money for? And I'm like, to listen to me.
That's right.
Because
that's
I'm telling you what's going on.
Right. The honesty there. Right.
Yeah.
Do you find that, like people that give you the pushback, right? Is it because they like their story that they want to hold on to that story? You know, I'm a cancer survivor. You know, I have diabetes. You know, I've lost a child. Whatever. I mean, all of these to me are tragic events. Don't get me wrong. I am not minimizing any of them.
No, not at all.
But is it because we like that? And I don't mean like it like, oh yeah, I want to be a cancer survivor. Yeah, I want to lose a child. Of course not. But is that because that we identify with that story? Is that what's
well,
going on?
Well, it's more, you know, we store every word and every emotion in ourself. And so our subconscious really runs our consciousness. And so if we're not aware that our subconscious is doing one train of thought and consciously you're doing the next, what's going to win over is the subconscious, not the conscious mind.
That's right.
And so it's really about understanding what your subconscious is saying. And so they may say, I don't feel that way. And as soon as they say that, their whole body shuts down. And I have to say, no, you know, your body's shutting down right now. And they're like, but I don't feel that way. And then we get into dialogue and I'll go, but what about when this happened? And they're like, yeah, okay, I can see where you're going with this. And then through the dialogue, they begin to understand that they never knew they were in a victim role, you know, or a secondary gain. Because when tragedy happens in our lives, people reach out to help us. And if they reach out for a long period of time, that becomes our new normal, right? And so it's not that consciously they're saying, oh my gosh, I need to make more drama in my life to get people to come back. They don't let go of the story so that they can keep people coming back. And honestly, it's taking responsibility from that point forward. It's like, if I stay a victim, I don't have to take responsibility for my life. And that's a big one for people.
Do you find that people have one drama after another, after another? Is that a pattern that is unsuitable?
Yeah, because they want to keep the storyline. They want to stay in that victim role of just being a victim, and that's what makes them feel wanted. You know, it's kind of like the jealousy issue, you know, that you have in relationships. And this is very subconscious in men more than women. But if a man is dating or married to a woman who's incredibly jealous, consciously they may complain about it. However, subconsciously, it shows them they're loved, that they're needed, that they're wanted, that she really wants to be with him. And so you've got two dynamics that are playing out, one in the conscious and one in the subconscious. And it's why people tolerate that kind of behavior or that kind of abuse, you know, emotional abuse or psychological abuse, whatever, because the subconscious is being fed. While the conscious mind is like, no, I don't like this at all. And it's like, well, then why are you still married? You're still married because your subconscious, she's feeding into the subconscious by showing the jealousy or resentment or whatever it is.
And 90% of what we do is this, the unconscious at work, right? Our subconscious at work.
Exactly.
It's truly the iceberg, right? The iceberg is here. All of the 90% of the iceberg is below surface. It's the same thing with humans, right? So it's the same concept going on from just a visual perspective. Have you ever met someone that they've hired you and all of that, and then they just fight you every step of the way so that you've literally been unable to help them? Has that ever happened?
They will fight me every step of the way, but I'm a pretty good fighter. So I typically win over. There was just one woman in all of my years, in 24 years of doing this work now, who had flown down from Virginia and wanted to do a cellular cleansing. And we went to the park. It was a beautiful day. And I'm like, it's a school day, so nobody will be out here. Let's just do it outside under the sun. And she was all game. And so, you know, the first thing when you start a cellular, it's like you're walking down a hallway and there's rooms, or you're walking down a stairway. And so I'm halfway down the stairway guiding her into this meditation. And she's like, I don't want to go downstairs. That's too scary. I want to go upstairs. And it's like, okay. So I shifted it and had her going up the stairs, you know, putting her into an altered state. And then I said, so now the rooms are on the right-hand side because you need to access the creative part of your brain.
Sure.
And you go in to clean the room, and you're bringing your left brain into your right brain, and you're starting to balance those out because you've got to have that for health. And she's like, well, I don't like the rooms on the right side. I want them on the left side. And I just looked at her body and looked at her, and I said, open your eyes. And I handed her back her check. And I said, fly back to Virginia. And if at some point you're willing to let go of control, then I'll be more than happy to do it with you. But we're not. I'm just not even going there today. And she's the only person out of all of the people I've worked with that I just knew we were just, there was not going to be a successful treatment for her. Other people go, I'm not judgmental. And it's like, oh, yeah, you are. Let me start. And they're like, but that's not judgmental. And I'm like, well, look at it from this perception. And so there was a guy who was in his early 50s, and he had a lot of blockages. And I was just really proud of him for being willing to be open enough to do a cellular cleansing, because alternative medicine was not something that he knew, or energy medicine or anything like that. But he was miserable enough. So I met him at a restaurant. He was staying at the hotel. And so I met him at a restaurant in the hotel. And his walls were just rock solid. And I thought, man, if we try to do this right now, we're not going to get anywhere.
Wow.
And I got sarcastic. I was kind of throwing barbs at him about, you know, what was going on. And finally, he started sobbing. It was kind of half sliding underneath the table. Now we're ready to go. Your walls are down, and now we can make progress. And, man, he did phenomenal. And so people are like, you know, you're mean. And I'm like, no, I'm not mean. If I'm saying something that's pushing your buttons, it is said with love, and it is said with total hugs, but I'm going to say it.
They need it.
And
they need it, right? That's why you're hitting that core. It's really hard to change. And it's really hard, right? That's why the show, Enlightenment of Change. So it's really hard to change, but it's really hard to change something that you can't fully comprehend, right?
Absolutely.
Like you were saying, you're so aware. You went back to the farmhouse, and here you had all of this crying, and you're like, what is going on? And you know this stuff. So can you imagine someone else having that same experience, going home to the farmhouse, and then feeling just very sad after it and thinking, wow, what's going on?
Right.
It's really hard to get inside our head and our subconscious and say, this is deep-rooted stuff, and
we really
do need to address it. So we do need practitioners like yourself who understand but also know how to move us from point A to point B, and to break, again, peel back our onion, but safely as well. Onion.
Because the thing is, we can't change what we don't know. And as soon as we know, then we've got it. But, you know, what people, I think, forget from time to time is that what we think the sadness or whatever is coming from has nothing to do with the emotion that you're experiencing. And so you put a story to it, and, you know, virtually every one of my clients hears, stop the story. I don't need the story. Stop the story. Let's move from this point forward and get the story out of your body.
Yeah.
But they'll say, I know what my problem is. They'll call the office and they're like, I know what emotion I'm dealing with. I'm just having a hard time dealing with it. And then I'll get on the phone with them and they'll say, you know, it's frustration and it happened, you know, when I was 7 years old. And I'm like, you're not even close. You're not even close. You think that that's where it started, but it's not. And it's not even that emotion. And they're like, well, yes, it has. And I've done a lot of work on it. And I'm like, well, if you've done a lot of work on it, you wouldn't be talking to me. Right. So you didn't get the right emotion, you know, it's not the correct emotion.
Do you get
and
that
I kind of chuckle.
But Patty, do you get it that quick when you speak with someone that you think, yeah, that's not it?
Within a minute.
You do.
Within a minute. Yeah. Or I just have to see their name in the calendar and then I know what we're dealing with. And so you get on and, you know, I always ask people to talk for about 10 minutes, giving me personal, professional, physical, and they want to give me the life history. It's like, I don't need that. I just need to know what's going on in this microcosm right now in your life, because your body will give me the rest of the information.
Sure.
And then they'll say, well, I talked to this psychic and they said this and I had an astrologer. And I'm like, whoa, stop. Don't care what a psychic told you. Don't care what your astrology reading. This has nothing to do with that. That is an external auric field, as far as I'm concerned. I'm working within your cells. And there's a totally different aspect going on, because your cells can only tell me truth. And my auric field can change according to my mood. So if I go see a psychic and I'm like in really happy place and so on, those are the vibes they're going to read. And if I am talking to an astrologer is only as good as their intuitive ability to vibrationally match with you. So they want to give me all this feedback of what other people said. And it's like, no, it's okay. Or people will, you know, they'll send 10 pages of, you know, psychic information, or even Western, you know, allopathic.
Sure.
They'll write me everything, their doctors, and we just,
sure,
you know, lovingly throw it in the garbage.
Right,
I'm like, tell me what's going on personally, professionally, and physically. And they're like, I already did that. I wrote that out for you. And I'm like, I want to hear your words.
Yes.
Because your words, what's going to tell me, is going to open up the body. And I only trust what your body tells me.
Absolutely.
Not what you tell me consciously.
Yeah. Now, genetics. I know people listening are saying, yeah, you know, my mom and dad both have glaucoma. They both have high blood pressure. So is there, does genetics play? Because we're talking vibration. So do the vibrations from my parents affect my health now in my life?
Yes. Everything your mother experienced while she was pregnant with you went into your body in addition to her body. You know, what she was experiencing went into you while you were in her. And the other thing is that I find curious, and I want to do more studying on it, but the dad's sperm, at the moment that conception was made, whatever his mood was, you know, like in the 2 days prior to conception, is what the baby will be born with. And I've seen it over and over again. Parents calling, going, "We have a great life, and this baby's just crying, 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 or angry, and just, you know, being really mean or whatever." And I'll say, "What was the dad's emotion 9 months before the baby was born? Oh, I lost my job. I was so angry." It's like, yeah. So that goes in the egg and during conception. And then the child also has everything that mom had. So we're born with it. Now, you know, there's kind of three varying degrees of past life theory. And, you know, one is, you know, we're reincarnated into a new body and our soul continues the lesson. And then there's Edgar Cayce, who says there's a universal mind and you go up in, you're all there. And if you've got the vibrational frequency of Cleopatra, then you'll have Cleopatra's, you know, memories, which is why, you know, a million people walk around saying, "Well, I was Cleopatra in a past life." And then there's science that's really beginning to embrace that you store, and this makes sense to me, because you store your emotions and your words in your cellular structure. Mm-hmm. And so what they're saying now and beginning to believe, which is awesome, is that you're actually sending down memories through your genetic strands, through your DNA. And so if you have a deja vu, or you really think you know someone, it's an ancestral memory and not a, you know, past life memory. You know, some of my older colleagues, when I first started out, who are totally into past lives, you know, you meet somebody, you don't like them, and they're immediately, "Well, they killed you in a past life, or you killed them," or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, no, it has nothing to do with that. Their frequency is at this level, your frequency is at this level, and you're just not compatible vibrationally. And once you bring those vibrations into attunement and alignment with each other, you get along great.
It's interesting. There was, and I wish I could remember the research and who the doctors were and what university it was, but they were testing mice. And they put little mice in the little habitat, and they were taking cherry blossoms, putting them into, you know what I'm talking about, into the habitat.
Yeah.
And they would put a little electric current, little, not hurting them.
Right.
And then they stopped the electric current, put the cherry blossom, and they would react as if there was a current. They mated those mice and had their little litter, and then they put they let the baby mice grow up, but then they put them in the habitat, no electric charge, put the cherry blossom in, and the little mice, their little blood pressure and all of those things, they reacted to the cherry blossom when they were not part of the test at all.
Isn't that amazing?
It blows your mind, but there's a lot more research coming out now. Supporting exactly what you say, that it's being delivered through our DNA. And I just want to comment, you were making me giggle when you say, you know, when the sperm went into the egg, what was the mood of the man? And I almost said, "Now, Patty, we know what the mood of the man was." I just had to mess with you for a second because it was just so cute. And then you footnoted it by saying, you know, a day or two before. And I thought, okay, then we were not enamored.
That's right. You're absolutely true. And I always had to make that footnote, because people are like, "Well, we know his mood." No. I want to know the totality of the last couple of days.
Because it was cute.
It is cute, you know, because a man is born with, you know, an infinite number of sperm, and women will say, "Well, women aren't also." And it's like, well, no, you know, we may be born with a billion eggs. But by the time we reach puberty, we've lost 500 million of those. And every year that, or every month that we have a cycle, we lose another couple of hundred thousand. So by the time we've reached our 20s and 30s, we don't have a lot of eggs left. But those eggs have also experienced what you experience. And there was a client of mine a few years ago, and just an amazing woman. Her mother and father were both Holocaust survivors. And she wrote a book. And the book was, I Was an Egg at Auschwitz. And how much trauma that she grew up with, that she did not experience, that her parents experienced, but because she was in her mother's body as an egg, the egg also took in the trauma. And it was fascinating, just amazing.
They're doing so much more research now, which, you know, like, I know some people probably don't listen to this show specifically because, yeah, I mean, I'm a business platform. I talk a lot about how can we change how successful we are at work or if we're right. starting a business and all those things. But at the core, if we are not healthy in mind, body, spirit, how can we be good at like anything out there in our life? So
when
and I do think most of the people who tune into my show believe that there's this connection of mind, body, spirit with abundance and success and you know, business and capabilities. And, you know, people like Branson and Oprah and all of these extremely successful people do believe in the mind, body, spirit, but they all meditate every day and, you know, all of this stuff. So I really hope that we're out of time, but I really do hope, Patty, that people are understanding that we have the answers. We don't always know how to peel them back, right? Or to understand how to tap into that so that we
That's
can make
right.
ourselves healthy and all of those things. So I hope they're really listening that there are these alternatives. More and more research is coming out. We are really basing more and more of this light work, sound, vibrational, all the things we talked about today, that they're founding it in research now.
They're founding it. And, you know, when you're starting a new company, you have to have full faith and belief. And if you start having doubts, then you meditate, you go inside, you use a vibration to get that Absolutely. Disbelief out
Yep.
in order to, you know, we've done 24 years and we've been highly successful. And it's just because I know there's times when I have my own crap and you have to just deal with it,
Yep.
but believe in yourself. To make your business successful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it really does.
Thank you for having me.
I love having you, Patty. And it's funny because I'm going to give your information in a minute if people are interested. You do virtual work with them, right? They don't have to physically fly to you, that you can
nope.
do, like what we're
yeah,
doing, we could do Skype or Zoom.
Skype or telephone. Yeah,
okay,
doesn't
awesome,
matter.
Awesome. So guys, if you'd like more information, go to Patty's website. So it's www.pattyconklin.com, and Patty is PattyConklin. So go check her out. And they could reach you. There's a contact page there so that they could get in touch with you to schedule something as well.
Absolutely.
Or,
yes.
Is your email on there too, Patty? So that if they have
it
a question.
It is just patty@pattyconklin.com.
Okay, great. So if
yep.
they have a question.
Yep, it's on there.
Okay, awesome. Guys,
yeah.
if you'd like more information from me or there's topics that you want me to cover or you have a question about business or sales or leadership or any of those things, please reach out to me directly on my email at connie@whitmanassociates.com. And I do respond personally, so reach out to me. You know, I would love to hear from you. Patty, as always, an absolute delight. I feel like we have so much more to talk about.
I know.
because this is such an interesting topic, yes, but I think that it's still an unknown topic for so many that there's so many more questions that I know people are thinking, well, what about this? And what about this? And what about my background? And what about, you know, my ancestral,
right.
Just
right.
everything plays into
everything. And I would love to do a show, Connie, on just, you know, when you're starting your business, your frequency at the time that you're starting the business is imprinted in whatever you're doing, whether it's, you know, whether it's print media or commercials or whatever. And if you start going through a rough time, let's say 5 years later, the vibration will shift within those medias that you're advertising in. And business will start lessening because you are. So everything you put out for advertising and marketing shifts according to what you're feeling and believing in the faith. And so, yeah, if you ever want to do a show about that, we can do that.
I think we absolutely have to, because I would think not only if I'm opening a business, but let's say I'm seeking a promotion at work and I have a new boss or I have an old boss and I'm trying to prove myself, my own self-doubt is going to come through in whatever I'm transmitting, right, for that period of time seeking
exactly.
my...
It's not your words. It's not your words. It's the energy that's emanating off your body.
Absolutely. We're going to do a show on that. So hold tight,
sounds
everybody.
Awesome.
It's coming. It's coming. Thank you again, Patty. I hope you guys, my listeners, will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves and just realize that we can change. We really can, and we truly have the power within us. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you, my beautiful guest, Patty, for just sharing some, I think, really important information that we can all use to flourish and just to have abundance and beautiful things come into our lives. So thank you again, Patty. You guys been listening. You're listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And I really do wish you all a successful, and I hope you have an inspired week. And check Patty out, because I think we can all use Patty's help. Our onions need that peeling back. Enjoy, everyone.